for the miracle of no longer being underneath the Roman Empire, and yet he dies on a cross a week later. We're in the 11th chapter of John today, and this is where everything changes. You know, all the other Gospels, the Passion Week is like the last five chapters of these 24-chapter books. The Gospel of John, the first half is kind of about his miracles and things he's done. But a half of his book is all 1 week of Jesus' life. You know, the first 11 chapters is over 3 years, and the second 11 chapters is 1 week. Just think about that. This is how important the time of Palm Sunday to Easter is in his mind, because this is Christ's mission. What did he come to do? This is what's important. It wasn't necessarily all the miracles, though chapter 20 says, I've written these things so that you would believe, right? This is why the miracles were there, to prove who he said he was. He truly is God himself, the Son of God. But the work, his mission, was to pay for the penalty of our sin on the cross. And so Passiontide focuses on the suffering servant, getting us ready then so that when he comes into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, we would truly know that our king doesn't look like the one with the golden crown and the purple robes on the golden throne, but instead, the king looks totally different. Imagine Good Friday. Why is it good? Well, because this is where we finally have the hope of salvation. The true king for us in our lives doesn't look like that grandiose image we have in our heads. That golden crown is exchanged for one of thorns. Those purple robes exchanged for the blue and purple bruising. And that beautiful throne looks like a cross on that tree. That's where he hangs. That's what a king looks like. You know, this is radical, different. And this is the gospel that can truly save us from our sins. And this is why God sent Christ into the world. And he knew this from the very beginning. Well before the foundations of the universe itself, this was God's plan. And it gives us the hope and opportunity that when we believe that Jesus nailed our sins to the cross, we now have a real opportunity to be reunited with God. Because I can't earn my way up to heaven, and I can't get rid of my sin. I can do nice things. I can add that into my life, but it never gets rid of sin. That takes sacrifice. And so a true king is the one that we read in the Bible, is Jesus, who sacrifices his life for our sake, gives us his righteousness, and he takes upon our unrighteousness so that we can finally be reunited with the Lord. And like that, that was radical. When I heard that the first time, blew my mind. And I was like, I've been living for myself my whole life, and I didn't recognize that there was one who they lived their life for me. And I was like, that's the God who has great love for his people. I'm going to worship this Lord. And that's when he took my stony heart that I had all my lives, and he gave me a beating heart of love. And so I'm grateful to be where I'm at to share that good news.
So you're preparing for Palm Sunday this Sunday,
yeah,
at your church. And it sounds like you've been on this this Passiontide. This is something that you said comes before Palm Sunday.
Yeah, it's the Sunday before Palm Sunday.
And is it a like almost like the preparation for the coming of Jesus,
yeah,
into Jerusalem, that whole,
yeah,
mindset?
And you kind of get the idea, because like, you know, what if you're just a church just, I don't know, preaching through the story of Jonah, and then all of a sudden, oh, sorry, but it's Palm Sunday. Let's kick out of Jonah and let's get right into Palm Sunday. I would share that Passiontide helps you ease into Holy Week. It's kind of a nice transition. Mm. So maybe in this next segment here, we could talk a little bit about then what happens between Palm Sunday and Easter.
Yeah, well, I mean, as we celebrate our faith today, certainly there is a big difference between the celebration of Jesus and then really almost a desertion of Jesus by his disciples and, in a sense, by the world itself. They had celebrated him on Palm Sunday as the coming Messiah. He's here, their celebration. And then there's a period where he's pretty much left alone. He's being persecuted, and he's preparing for the ultimate sacrifice Good Friday. And so let's pick it up. Let's pick it up there, and let's talk a little bit about what you said coming in here today about why Easter.
Yeah.
And how we get there and so, what he goes through.
So, again, back to kind of missed expectations, right? You know, and here he is walking into Jerusalem on a donkey, a colt of a foal, right? A colt of a donkey. And, you know, the days, you know, the first thing that we hear about Jesus is he's saying, you know, he's flipping the tables. He's saying, this is my father's house. And this, you guys are a den of thieves, you know, buying and selling. Buying and selling is actually rather normal. It's actually where they were buying and selling within the temple. It was supposed to be done outside the temple. There's a pragmatic part to that. Remember, this is about Passover. You know, you'll always notice that seemingly Easter is always next to Passover. Mm-hmm. You know, you go into Publix, you notice all of a sudden the Coca-Colas have the yellow caps on them and the, you know, gefilte fish is on the aisle shelves and all that. Well, what's happening, right? So when we talk about Easter, we're also looking at Passover. And this is the annual pilgrimage. All Jews from all places all around the world going to Jerusalem. I mean, this is a big, high holy day. This is second to the Festival of Lights, where Jesus says, I am the light of the world, which that's another story we'll save for another Friday. Mm. But here is one of the biggest high holy days of the year. Everyone's showing up. And of course, you're not going to bring rams and doves and all that stuff, but you'll bring some money with you and you can buy those things outside of the temple courts, then bring that in to sacrifice so that you can participate in Passover for the forgiveness of sins and then spend that time in that meal with your friends and family, remembering what the Lord did back at what we see in Exodus. That's what people are doing when Jesus is coming into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover.
When does Passover happen for the Jewish people? And in a way, it happens for us too. But did that already start? I know I have Jewish friends, and I think we're in that season for them too.
Well, right? It's going to be this Thursday into Friday.
Okay, so today is Friday.
Today's Friday, so 1 week.
Within one week,
yeah. Okay. Remember, the Jewish days are a little bit different than American days. So we start our days in the morning. The Jews start their days in the evening. So 6 p.m. is a new day. Mm. Think about this, the story of creation. You know, it was darkness and light. So, you know, day started 6 p.m. kind of a thing. Yeah. So yeah, that's where you get your Thursday to Friday kind of conjecture of when was Passover? Because people have questions. Was 3 days and then there was a resurrection? Wouldn't that be Monday? That's another story. We don't need to go into those details. Yeah. But he's coming into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. His disciples are getting ready for this big dinner. And as he is asking the disciples, you know, he's going to go pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. Again, here he is. What is he sweating out of his forehead? You recall?
Yes, blood.
Blood. What did Jesus know? Why was he sweating blood? Why was he saying, Father, if anyone could take this cup from me, please?
Well, I know.
What was going on in Jesus' mind then?
Well, I know some people say that he was anticipating separation from the Father when he would actually bear the sin of all of us, that he was really going through this pain and agony of this separation because he took the sin of the world upon himself and the Father looked away. Some people say the torture and the suffering he was having. And you think about it, right? I mean, what's the most suffering any of us as humans would go through in our lives. It's usually over the loss of someone. It's the loss, the separation mm-hmm. of you and your loved one, your mom, your dad, a spouse. When you lose someone and you are separated, it is one of the most painful things we go through. So I tend to sort of embrace the idea that as Jesus was suffering in the garden and praying, that he would have the strength to do what he needed to do, and frankly asking the Father if there was another way, he would appreciate it, maybe an option
yeah.
to the cross, you know?
And you know, this is one of the other things that I really began to appreciate about the God of the Bible who sends Jesus into the world is that, unlike other world religions out there, and you know, at that point in my life, I had many friends from many different faiths, but truly it's the God of the scriptures that can relate to us. Every other world religion teaches about a God who made the universe and walked away. Christianity is the only really recognition that no, God made the universe and stepped into time and place, lived a life from being conceived to being born to living every day, so that, you know, Jesus could always say, you know, we always say, you don't know what it's like to live in my shoes. You don't know what it's like to be me. And Jesus says, I know exactly what it's like. You know, Jesus has experienced suffering in every capacity. That's the God who can really relate with us. That meant so much to me.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer. And this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Pleens Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
So you're pregnant and suddenly your whole life changed. You want to be joyful, but you're also afraid and anxious. How do you deal with this? Where do you go for help? CareNet Pregnancy Services of the Treasure Coast is here for you. We give compassionate counsel, helpful education and referrals so that you can make the best decision. There is no charge for our confidential services, and we will ensure that you enjoy security and strong support from the CareNet family. Reach out to us today at 772-828-3168.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter has equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler Pro Rodeo and Horseman headquarters. They also have a boot department with Ariat, Double H, Carolina, Justin, Rocky Durango, Danpos, Lucchese boots, along with Minnetonka, moccasins, and Stetson hats. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 646 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway, west of Old England.
Vero Web Consulting specializes in creating custom websites, hosting, content marketing services, and more. Vero Web Consulting strives to provide the best quality services and solutions to meet your individual web development needs. Mary Lee Weir is a successful entrepreneur with over 20 years of knowledge and experience helping small businesses create an effective online presence. Visit VeroWebConsulting.com.
Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.